It's the Red Fox Roto Bullpen Report on the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Today is Tuesday. It's May 26th. We'll get through some news nuggets first, but I wanted to spend most of the time today looking at some bullpens where the incumbent closer has been shaky lately, maybe blown some saves, given up some runs. How many are in actual danger of losing their jobs? Who's the stash play in case that happens? I will give my take on each. But we start with the news. Out in Arizona, AJ Puck will need 7 or 8 rehab appearances before returning from the 60-day injured list, which means he's likely coming back in middle of June. Paul Sewald has been good enough to date that Puck shouldn't be an immediate threat to his job, but could become one later. So Puck isn't a priority stash. He does face the uphill battle against both Paul Sewald and just being healthy, having an effective return from the internal brace surgery. Since neither of those things is a given, Puck is no sure thing for saves. In Baltimore, Anthony Nunez lost a lead in the 8th inning last night. That was his 3rd blown save of the season. Rico Garcia followed that up with a couple scoreless innings to preserve the tie. Ryan Helsley is still trending towards a mid-June return, so Rico Garcia is the Baltimore reliever to own until then. For the LA Angels, Kirby Yates earned his first save of the 2026 season on Saturday. Now, his average fastball velocity was still down about 2 miles per hour, but so far that hasn't prevented him from a strikeout rate over 30% in just a small sample of MLB innings, just about 6. So Yates could struggle with consistency while he works with this reduced velocity, but he could also be just good enough to earn the majority of save chances anyway. The return of Ben Joyce is, I think, still likely to set up an eventual competition between him and Yates. But Joyce hasn't pitched in a regular minor league game since May 7th. He's currently rehabbing at the Angels complex in Arizona. Doesn't seem we should expect him back soon. So there's a window open here for Kirby Yates to push ahead for saves, though we should expect the volatility. Now, in Sacramento, Jack Perkins threw 4 2/3 innings of relief last night. Closers don't throw 4 2/3 innings in relief, but we should have already known he was not the A's closer. His last save came back in April, and he has a 7.71 ERA, a 1.46 whip in May. But he's still rostered in 23% of the NFBC online championship leagues and 18% of main event leagues. And all I can ask is why. It's been my stance all season long that the A's don't have a closer, they won't have a closer, and that we shouldn't spend valuable fab dollars chasing the latest save in their bullpen. And to that, I hold. Now I'll finish up this quick section here with the Blue Jays. Jeff Hoffman was terrific in week 9. He threw 3 2/3 scoreless innings. He allowed just one base runner. He had 6 strikeouts, but most notably, he had 2 saves. And of course, he did this mostly on benches, probably more waiver wires. And as far as I'm concerned, he can stay there. Each of his 2 saves last week was circumstantial. It's not a sign that he's regained the closer job over Louis Varland. Before Hoffman's first save, Varland had pitched the previous 2 days, including 24 pitches just the night before. And then preceding Hoffman's second save, Varland had been used for a 2-inning save one night earlier. So this is good news for Hoffman. I mean, he's clearly next in line again. But this job remains Louis Varland's to lose, and Varland doesn't seem like he'll be losing it anytime soon. But now we move on to the bullpens where the closer has not pitched well of late and maybe change is brewing. It's important to continually monitor closer performance, especially of those who aren't on your team, so that we can be aware of which handcuffs can be stashed cheaply the week before they potentially take the job away, rather than the weekend after when their fab price climbs astronomically. So we start with the Chicago White Sox. And Sir Anthony Dominguez is nobody's prototype for a great fantasy closer. But to be valuable to us, he doesn't have to be. The bullpen behind him is basically Grant Taylor and also some other guys that pitch. So since the White Sox plan for Grant Taylor in 2026 did not include making him a one-inning closer, Dominguez is mostly competing against himself to keep that job. Now, after a couple appearances last week in which Dominguez allowed multiple runs in each, one of them was a blown save, he's rebounded since with two scoreless innings, four strikeouts, and more importantly, no walks in those next two games, including a save last night. So it may not feel like it, but I think the White Sox will have a high tolerance for this shakiness, this inconsistency from Dominguez. The team wants Grant Taylor to be available for multi-inning appearances, for tie games where they want him to throw more than just one inning. He won't do that as a one-inning closer. And there's nobody else in the White Sox bullpen that makes them better right now by taking over the ninth inning from Dominguez. Now, that's right now. If Dominguez blows another save this week, has some struggles, walks more guys, then that situation changes. We have to reevaluate. We could see a temporary change. But as of today, I still think it's Dominguez all the way. All right, moving on now to Detroit. Remember when there were legitimate offseason debates about who would be the Tigers' closer, whether it was Kenley Jansen, Kyle Finnegan, Will Vest? They all had their supporters. I thought it was clear that Jansen would be the man. He was obviously by far the most experienced and successful closer there, 24 saves away from 500 in his career. And he's just the kind of pitcher at his age, his size, he's a big body. He's not the kind of guy you try to get up and get ready quickly in a setup situation. Now, despite all of this, the patience for Jansen in the ninth inning may have already run out. He blew another save in his last chance. He walked two and then gave up a walk-off three-run homer. He's just 7-for-11 in saves this year. He's allowed 8 walks, 4 homers in his 14 and a third innings. That's a bad combination. Now, Kyle Finnegan should have been the next man up in Detroit, but he hasn't really been any better, despite a very shiny 1.82 ERA. But that ERA comes with a 1.62 whip, a career-high 18.1% walk rate. I mean, a really cringy K-minus walk that's negative 3.8%. Even the world's okayest closer wouldn't secure the ninth inning better than Jansen with luck as his best weapon so far this year. So could this open the door for Will Vest? The surface numbers aren't inspiring. He's got a 5.5 ERA, a 1.30 whip. But like always, there's a solid foundation here with Will Vest. He has an impressive 60% ground ball rate, and he's still generating enough strikeouts. He's around 25%, that he can be successful suppressing runs. And Vest saved 23 games for the Tigers just last year. So right now, I do believe Jansen continues to get the opportunity to pursue 500 saves. But any more blips could give Finnegan or Vest the chance to take over for a while. And I would take the cheaper flyer on Vest. Now to Kansas City. We should have doubts right now whether the next Royals save chance will go to Lucas Erceg. He's allowed at least one runner to score in 4 of his last 5 games, including 5 runs allowed over just his last 2 games. He's blown 4 saves. He doesn't generate many strikeouts. He walks too many batters. He's Sir Anthony Dominguez without the strikeouts, and that's not a good thing. Carlos Estevez isn't returning to Kansas City for a long time. Matt Strom is on the injured list. The other right-handed options the Royals have that they've used in the late innings lately, John Schreiber, Nick Mears, neither profiles as a worthy replacement for Urseg. The best reliever in the Royals' bullpen is their former starter, Daniel Lynch IV. I mean, if you just build a generic profile for what a strong closer looks like, it would look like what Lynch has accomplished this season. You want the strikeouts? 29.7% strikeout rate. You want to limit walks? 7.7%. His K-minus walk is 22%. It's a great number. You want to keep the ball on the ground? 52.7% ground balls. You want to limit the hard contact? He's done that. And he has a really impressive 16.5% swinging strike rate. The only strike against Daniel Lynch is that he happens to throw left-handed. Now, unfortunately, that could be enough to prevent him from getting a majority of save chances if Urseg is removed from the closer role. But Lynch could definitely function as a temporary replacement if Urseg is just given a break. And, I mean, who knows? That may have already happened. The next Royals save chance will let us know. We'll check in next with the Milwaukee Brewers, where Trevor McGill, since his removal from the closer role after April 14th, has thrown 12 innings. He has a 1.5 ERA, a 0.66 whip, and a really nice 17-2 strikeout-to-walk ratio. So when McGill was used for a save on May 15th, set up by Abner Uribe, it seemed possible that he had earned his ninth inning job back. Now, since taking over the closer role, Uribe has also thrown 12 innings, and in that time, he has a 3.75 ERA, an even one whip, and five saves, but a rather mediocre 12-6 strikeout-to-walk ratio, so not really shaky, but McGill has been so good that he's been pushing Uribe anyway. So after McGill usurped that save chance on May 15th, both pitchers have only pitched one more time in the most recent 10 days. That was on May 19th. And McGill threw the seventh inning. Uribe got the ninth. He got another save. So was that McGill save just an aberration? It could have been. Uribe was used against the top of the Twins lineup that day. Might have been a situational save for McGill. I mean, there's no question here. Uribe needs to be owned as the Brewers' current closer. He is 100% rostered. But I think McGill should be owned in as many leagues as possible since, I mean, he could be as close as one Uribe misstep away from taking that closer job back. All right, we're going to finish up here with both teams from New York. We'll start with the Mets. Devin Williams had been working on a 10-game scoreless streak. He had a nearly flawless month of May before Sunday's implosion against the Marlins, where he allowed a walk-off grand slam. And he's just had a really strange season so far. Half of Devin Williams' 10 walks have come in just two games. 10 of his 12 runs allowed have come in just three games. And 8 of his 12 runs allowed have come literally on two swings. He's allowed two grand slams. So for most of the season, Devin Williams has looked like that dominant Devin Williams from Milwaukee. But because of a few innings where he's looked more like Alan Travers, we see that 6.35 ERA, the 1.65 whip. And it's easy to say, oh, well, he's just been awful. Not really. But of course, the only opinion that matters is that of manager Carlos Mendoza. Devin Williams isn't likely in any danger at this moment, but his margin for error is tightening in what has been a really frustrating season for the Mets. So one of the easiest changes to make to shake things up would be in the ninth inning. So Luke Weaver could be a wise stash in deeper leagues. And definitely a handcuff to watch closely in most others. All right, we'll close things out here with the Yankees, where David Bednar has been shaky really all season long, but he's also only blown two saves. And he really is lacking a clearly deserving competitor. So he should remain safe for now. He did have a scoreless save just last night. But interestingly, Bednar has allowed at least one run in half of his 12 saves. He's just been lucky enough to get the 2 and 3 run leads rather than the 1 run leads. So, of course, his surface stats don't look great. 4.70 ERA, 1.57 whip. He has been stung a bit by some bad luck. A 3.69 BABIP is definitely elevated. And all his ERA estimators, they sit close to 3. He's deserved better. He's getting a career best 58.5% ground ball rate. That's a really nice number. So glass half full, we can say Bednar has better days ahead. But glass half empty, few more shaky outings, some more runs allowed, and Aaron Boone might run out of patience. That could get him removed from the ninth inning at any time. So of course we keep starting him, but we have to be ready to pounce on Camilo Doval or maybe even Fernando Cruz should the struggles continue. So that's the end for us here on the Tuesday edition of the Bullpen Report of the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Another weekend fab preview will be out on Saturday. Until then, let's close it out.